us feeling so very cold, and as I crept closer to the fire, my hands were outstretched, desperately trying to mingle with the crowds, keeping my head down whilst my senses were on fire, watching, listening. But it wasn't just the cold that was making me shake. It was the adrenaline. It was the fear flowing through me. Oh God, what is happening? I couldn't get my head around the events of the night. We had a wonderful meal together, our friends celebrating the Passover. But then Jesus started talking in ways that we didn't understand. One of you, he said. One of you, my friends, will betray me. Who, Lord? Who would do such a thing to you and betray you? What do you mean? How? When? Why? But it didn't stop there. Jesus, during the meal, he took the bread, and as he broke it, he said, "Eat, take this. This is my body that will be broken for you." What? Your body? We didn't understand. And then after the meal, he took the cup, and after thanking God, as he always did, he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. Your blood, Jesus, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day that I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom." What a meal. None of us understood. To be honest, having enjoyed a lovely meal together, I was glad to be heading out into the fresh air to go and pray. It was good to have a change of scenery. It might do us all good, lift the mood a little bit. I felt honoured when I was one of the few that Jesus took with him into the deeper part of the garden to pray. But he was still so very, very sad. Jesus seemed so troubled. He was so disturbed. It was uncomfortable. It was so uneasy being there with him. And then that's when things really started to unwind and mess up. We tried to pray, we really tried to pray, but it was so hard to stay awake. We'd had this big meal and it'd been such a long day, and it started to take a toll, and before we knew it, our eyes started to droop and our heads started to drop, and Jesus was waking us up. We felt guilty, but somehow even our guilt couldn't defeat our tiredness. It happened again. When we awoke that second time, I was confused, I was dazed, I felt really befuddled in my head as to where we were, but suddenly we weren't alone anymore. There were soldiers, the chief priests were there, the elders, there was a whole crowd of them together with their torches. From the light of that, they stepped forward, and one person, Judas. Judas. The kiss. Then absolute chaos. As Jesus was arrested, swords were drawn, people started fighting, and a man's ear was cut off. But even in the midst of that, Jesus stepped up and he healed the man. He stayed calm whilst everyone else was shouting and fighting, lights flashing, confusion, utter terror as they arrested him. Finally, we all fled. We all fled in different directions, every man for himself. Jesus was the only one who didn't run. And in the confusion, they took him. Finally, as my breathing slowed down, as I slowed down, I regained a sense of my bearings in the dark. And with my heart still pounding in my ears, I headed back towards the city, finally catching a glimpse of where they were taking my Lord. To the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. I was absolutely shaking from head to toe, and the fire was a good cover to pretend to be warming myself amongst the crowd of guards whilst trying to make sense of what on earth was going on. Then a servant girl came and nearly blew my cover. She said that she had seen me with Jesus. "Absolutely not," I said. "I don't know what you're talking about." I moved away from the girl. I moved towards the gateway where the soldiers were, and I could get an even better view of what was happening. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were trying to find evidence against Jesus. They had no success. until Jesus finally admitted that he was Christ, the Son of God. That was all they needed. The dramatics of the priests were crazy. They started ripping his clothes. He was declaring Jesus was blaspheming. Others joined in, and then they started saying that he should die. My heart that had been deafening me now stopped. Surely not, surely this cannot be happening. Surely Jesus would do something. Surely he's just going to walk through the crowds like he has done in the past, back out into the night. But no, Jesus, they're starting to spit on him. They slap him. And then another girl interrupts my thoughts as I'm watching this terrible moment. And she says to the people around me that I've been with Jesus. I swear to them, I don't know this man. What is it with these slave girls? But they've stirred up questions now in the minds of those around me, and it's not long before that whispering builds up. And more accusations are turned towards me. They said, the men this time, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. I was so angry, I was so frightened for my life that I began to call down curses on myself loudly so that everyone could hear and not have any question in their mind that I could have been with Jesus, swearing that I didn't know him. Above my own voice, though, I heard the crowing of the cock. The cock, the waker of the morning. And the words of Jesus returned to me. Before the cock crows, Jesus had said, you will disown me three times. Oh, how I'd been so convinced that could never happen. I can't stay a moment longer, and I turn and I push my way through the crowd, out of the courtyard, turning away from Jesus. I turned my back on him as I ran out back into the night. And only when I found space away from people did those tears pour down my face. I desperately sought a place of solitude where I fell down, sobbing. Guilty beyond measure, knowing I have abandoned, I have forsaken, I have denied my Lord, my friend, my God. They say you never stop worrying about your children, regardless of how old they are. I'm the perfect example of this. From the moment the angel stood before me, my life was turned upside down. Such a mix of emotions. Expecting my first baby, utter delight. Expectancy, a sense of utter humility and undeserved honour. Complete terror at becoming mum and all that it would entail. And worry. Worry from that first moment. What would people think? What would Joseph think? My parents, everyone. Yet somehow God went ahead of me. He spoke into the hearts of everyone, the people that mattered. God kept removing my worry and replacing it instead with his peace, with his presence. But even after he was born, there were moments of worry. Running away to Egypt was terrible. Hearing that of all the awful things that were happening back in our land to those babies. And after that, when we went to Jerusalem when he was young, we lost him. I felt so bad as a mum. What kind of mum leaves their child behind in the city? And then the path that he chose as an adult. I'm so proud of my son. I was delighted to see people responding to him, wanting to listen to his teaching, seeing the amazing miracles that God was doing. I delighted seeing those lives that were touched and changed. But as a mum, seeing the leaders actively hating him. So hard. So hard. Why? Why were they like that? Why couldn't they see who he was? Why weren't they listening? How come sons, they couldn't see that God was with us. They of all people. And now, now, I can barely speak to verbalise what I'm witnessing, the horrors. My heart is more than broken. Overwhelmed is not a big enough word to express my heart and how it feels and to explain where I find myself this morning. It seems impossible that we could be here. I've just followed the crowds as my son is forced to carry his cross on his broken body up that hill. His body, which they've already broken. My beautiful boy whose back has been ripped to shreds by the lashings they used all their might to make. I was only told how they inflicted his injuries. I literally could go nowhere near. I couldn't watch. I couldn't be near enough to hear him cry out. To see your child, my sweet, kind, pure boy, who'd never done any harm to anybody, who'd only reached out with love, with healing, with kindness and acceptance. To see him accused, judged, lied about, tortured, it was more than I could bear. Now he's at the top of the hill, he collapsed on the way up, and another was forced to carry his cross. But that didn't stop them. They made him go up nevertheless. My Father God, I don't understand how this can be happening. Why are you not stopping it? God, what can I do? Please, Father, make this stop. The sound of the hammer driving the nails through his flesh makes me physically sick. My friends lead me away from the crowds, but as they lift him up, I'm drawn back. The wrenching pain, the heartbreak, the sickness, the horror washing over me cannot keep me away, as I need to be with him. To let him know that his mum is still here. He is not alone. Son, I'm here. Mummy is here. The hopelessness I feel knows no end. I wish I didn't have to look, but somehow I have to try and keep eye contact to assure him that I am here. I wish I could hold him. Why, God? I'm aware of the presence of my friends. I'm sure they're holding me up. They too are horrified, broken by the scene that we see. We all love him. He's so special. And we know who he is. But we don't understand. How can this be? How can God be dying on a cross? When he spoke from his place of torture to John, handing me over to John's care as mother and son, that sums up my son, my Jesus. Even in the midst of his suffering and his death, he's loving others. He's caring for me, caring even for John. He knows that we're going to need each other in the days to come. Oh, Jesus, I want you. It's you that I want. God, why? Why is this happening? Grief overwhelms me. I would give anything to swap places with him. But that this is happening tells me that it must also somehow be part of God's plan. My son, who's calmed storms, who's healed the lame, who's forgiven the sinner, who's raised the dead to life. God the Father and God the Son, for a reason beyond my understanding, allowing this to happen. Oh God, I watch him. I watch him as he struggles for breath, as he struggles for each breath, as he finally falls unconscious, as my beautiful son's head bows for the last time. Oh, my boy. I can't watch as they pierce his side with a spear, but hearing the words that is past, that he's no longer suffering, it's a relief. It's over. My legs can no longer hold me. And as I fall down to the ground, the earth is covered in darkness. It's as though God himself has shut his own eyes and turned away from this world which he created, because he can no longer bear to see the sight that we have done to his dear son.